We turn in God's Word once again this evening to Luke 2. Luke 2, and we'll begin reading those verses where we left off this morning. Starting in verse 21 of this chapter, and we'll read through verse 40 of this chapter. Pay particular attention to verses 25 through 33, the account of Simeon in the temple. 25 through 33, these verses will make up our text tonight. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now verse 25 begins our text. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. That will end our text, even though the account continues. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This far we read God's Word tonight. As I mentioned, our text is going to be found in verses 25 through 33 of this chapter. Joseph and Mary had taken their infant son, Jesus, to the temple once again. By this time, the two of them had taken up residence in Bethlehem and already had made one other trip to the temple with Jesus. According to the law, Jesus had to be circumcised at 8 days old, and that took place in the temple in Jerusalem. We learn from Galatians 4 that Christ was, after all, born under the law. That means that he came to fulfill the law, and therefore from his birth we find that he was back in the temple there in order that he might be not only circumcised but also named. But now, also after 41 days, he was to be found there with his mother and father once again. We say that he was brought back to the temple because we read in our text in verse 27 that Jesus' parents brought him there to do for him after the custom of the law. You see, also according to the Old Testament law, the firstborn, if he were a son now, was to be paid for in the temple in order to excuse him from service in the temple as one of the Levites. God, long ago before this time, had demanded that all the firstborn of Israel were his, and therefore had to be dedicated to him and to his service in particular in the temple. But since this service already belonged to the tribe of Levi, God had allowed that firstborn sons that were born to parents in tribes other than Levi could now take their son to the temple, their firstborn son to the temple, and to pay the price that would release him now from temple service. He had to be redeemed. After 30 days of that boy's birth, therefore, his mother and father could take him to the temple and pay their price to free their son. Following the dictates of the law, because Jesus once again was born under the law, following the dictates of the law, Joseph and Mary decided to do this. Jesus, therefore, was for sure 30 days old. But we mentioned earlier that Jesus was older than that when they went to the temple, that he was probably at this point 41 days old. And we say this because Joseph and Mary had another task to accomplish when they made their journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. In other words, they were now fulfilling two different tasks in the one visit that they paid to the temple. We read of that in verse 22 of the chapter that we have before us. And when the days of her purification, Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Mary herself had to go to the temple to offer sacrifice for her purification, we learn. The mother, after giving birth to a child, was considered unclean, until which time she made a particular sacrifice in the temple. She could offer no other sacrifices in the temple until this one sacrifice of her purification was made. According to the law of Moses, Mary now carried with her two young turtle doves, or two pigeons, to sacrifice to God, because these were the sacrifices of the poor, and Mary and Joseph were poor. This sacrifice could not be offered, however, immediately after the birth of a baby. There were a certain amount of prescribed days before the woman was allowed to go to the temple and offer her sacrifice for purification. In the case of a male child, that was 40 days. And in the case of a female, she had to wait 80 days. Also, since these days had to be fully accomplished, the woman could not offer the sacrifice of purification on the 40th day, but had to wait until that day was finished, and she had to offer it on the 41st day. Evidently, it was on that 41st day, after Jesus' birth, that Joseph and Mary went to the temple now for the double task, first of all, of purifying her through her sacrifice, and then to redeem Jesus from temple service. Mary's sacrifice for herself had already been made, and now they stood in the temple awaiting Jesus' redemption from his service in the temple. I can imagine that the temple at this particular time was busy, as it usually was. Mary and Joseph were looking for a priest in order to perform this rite. While they waited, an old man suddenly appeared and came to them. This man's name was Simeon. Without a single word to Mary or Joseph, he took Jesus out of their arms and prayed. First words out of the mouth of Simeon were prophetic. My eyes have seen thy salvation. Words of deep insight given him, as we learn in our text, by the Spirit. These words of prophecy we're going to use as our theme tonight. Simeon sees salvation. In the first place, we are going to consider a devout saint. A devout saint. Secondly, a prophetic prayer. And then finally, a quiet response. There is nothing in Scripture that indicates to you and to me who Simeon was. We read of him in no other passage of the Bible save this one. And there are very few facts that we learn even here in this passage. Perhaps the one outstanding fact that we all remember is that Simeon was old. The passage before us does not say in explicit terms that Simeon was old, but it certainly is implied. You see, Simeon had lived past the age that men normally did at that particular time in history. From a human point of view, he should have died already. But Simeon was told by the Spirit, he was told by the Spirit in some way that he was not going to die until Simeon himself had seen with his very eyes the Christ, that is, the Messiah. And it is evident that Simeon was very old too, and in his prayer he asked God now to let him depart from this earth, as if his life was hanging on and hanging on, and now I've seen my salvation, Lord, now let me depart from this earth in peace. So Simeon was old. Perhaps safe to assume that he was well over 100 years old. And everyone remembers the aged Simeon for that reason. But we are told really what is an even more important fact in verse 25 of our text, the end of the verse. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. First, that was revealed in three ways. First, the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon in some way prior to this time that Simeon would not see death until he would see the Lord's Messiah. That in the first place. Second, the Spirit actually led Simeon to the temple at this particular moment that Christ was going to be there. Spirit was leading him there. And then Simeon prophesied. That's an important truth. Had he spoken any words of prophecy for the people before this time? No, he didn't. He didn't. None. And that was true because, you see, the Spirit of God had been silent now for some 400 years since the time of Malachi, the last prophet through whom the Spirit spoke the word. Simeon had not been given another word to speak prior to this time, but Simeon did receive, as the prophets of old, a special revelation from God by means of that Spirit. That revelation told him that he was not going to see death until Jesus Christ was born. He must have received that revelation when he was yet in his home. The Spirit even revealed to him as well both that Christ was present in the temple and pointed out exactly who the Christ was to Simeon when he led him into the temple. So Simeon was a prophet. God spoke to him through the Spirit just as he did to the prophets of old. And he revealed certain truths to Simeon that were not well known. Under the Spirit's inspiration, Simeon prophesied in his prayer concerning Christ. And in the last words that he spoke to Joseph and Mary in verses 34 and 35, which verses we're not considering now tonight. Simeon was a prophet, though he was not a prophet in an official sense of the word. In other words, he had not been called into the office of a prophet at that time. There's one other matter that we learn of Simeon in verse 25 of our text tonight. He was just and devout and looked for the consolation of Israel. Simeon lived in Jerusalem and was seen oftentimes in the temple. He was known there by the people who themselves frequented the temple as a just and a devout man. And by these terms, you and I are told of the life of this man, Simeon. He was known as an honest man. He was a just man. And he was a devout Jew. That is to say, he kept the laws of Moses strictly. Furthermore, he was known as being devout. That is, a godly man, a pious man, who was seen in prayer and who was oftentimes seen making sacrifices for sin. Could very well have been that Simeon was himself a priest. We are not told that in Scripture, so we do not know that for sure. But he had led a holy life, a pious, a devout life, consecrated to serving God. He was not interested in the worldly mindedness that seemed to have consumed so many of the people in that nation of Israel. And all of this was true because Simeon looked for the consolation of Israel. His sacrifices, his prayers in the temple were not offered in a traditional, formal way out of a heart that was not sincere, but was guilty of the work righteousness of the Pharisees. That wasn't true of Simeon. He looked for the consolation of Israel, and what that simply means is he looked for the peace and the comfort that one was going to bring to God's people. In other words, Simeon earnestly looked for the Messiah. And he was one of the very few who still had a devout longing in his heart for the coming of Jesus Christ. Simeon looked for a Christ that would now bring consolation, comfort to God's people who had been wearied as he was by their own sins. Simeon maintained a right view, you see, of that coming Christ. So many others in the nation of Israel were looking for an earthly king who would come now in might and in power and establish an earthly kingdom. That was not true of Simeon. Simeon was looking for a Savior. He was looking for one who would offer himself as a sacrifice for the sin of God's people. And in that way, the Messiah would bring salvation to them. And that would result in comfort or consolation. So he looked for a man to come and save him. Very few in Israel were looking for a man of that sort. What a contrast between this old man Simeon now and this young baby that was lying in the arms of Mary or Joseph. This devout, aged saint represented the old dispensation, you know, with all of its types and shadows, while Christ represented the fulfillment of all of that law, the doing away with that law. Simeon was under those few elect remnant according to grace that still clung to God's promise that the Messiah was going to come. He still lived out of the faith of his father Abraham. He was a true son of Abraham. This little baby that was now going to be held within his arms was the one who would be coming as a fulfillment to that promise himself. Simeon believed God and therefore looked for and longed for the Messiah and the salvation that he would bring. And from that point of view, Simeon was indeed representative of the true church. The true church of the Old Testament. Not the apostate church, which seemed to characterize much of the nation of Israel and the work righteousness of the Pharisees. Simeon represented the true church of the Old Testament, the church which yet still looked for redemption in Israel, just as Anna did. The church which still in faith brought their sacrifices to the temple and piously offered them there. This just man pictured it all for us. And now the Messiah, the long-expected Christ, had arrived. Can you imagine the thrill that must have gone through this aged saint who was specifically promised by God that he was going to see the Messiah before he died? What a thrill. How many saints in the old dispensation died in faith, looking for that coming Messiah? What an honor, what a privilege God now was going to give to this old saint. He was going to be able to see not only, but he was going to be able to hold the Messiah, the Christ, in his arms, the promised Savior. Wow. Wow. Imagine how hard his heart was beating. How excited he must have been to take that baby out of the arms of Mary or Joseph. The overwhelming sense of joy that must have belonged to this old saint. Hope of the church, the hope of all ages, was now right in front of him. All the events that surrounded this scene in the temple were amazing. Already in his home, Simeon was told somehow by the Spirit to go to the temple. At this particular time, go to the temple. Simeon did not simply stumble upon Jesus by chance when he went to the temple. Simeon was not even simply guided there by God's providence. God revealed it to him. Revealed it to him through his Spirit that this was the very day, the very hour, the very moment that he should go to the temple because the Messiah was going to appear. And already then, Simeon must have hurried with eager anticipation to the temple. Simeon must have been waiting in the temple in a certain place, led there by the Spirit. Our text implies that, indicates that, in verse 27. And Simeon came by the Spirit. Okay, he didn't just so happen to be there. He came through the Spirit's guiding, right, into the temple. And he was there. And he was waiting. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up. While he waited, Joseph and Mary brought their child into that crowded place of the temple where other parents probably were waiting to relieve their own sons of temple worship through the sacrifice that they were going to make. He led Simeon to that place in the temple where all of these people were redeeming their sons. And that's where all the events transpired. As soon as Simeon was led by the Spirit to that baby lying in his parents' arms, he wasted no time. He went immediately to the baby. Not even a word to Joseph and Mary. Went right to the baby and took him out of the arms of his parents and put him in his own arms and was holding that baby. Mary and Joseph didn't seem like they even hesitated to give their baby over into the arms of this old man. They did not draw back as a parent of a newborn son would be apt to do. After all, if some stranger came and started to grab their child out of their arms, they didn't draw back, but they willingly gave their son into the arms of this old man. And as Simeon held the Messiah, he blessed God. Simeon raised his voice in thanksgiving to God. He praised God for the blessedness of this child that was now born. He offered a prayer immediately. He held the child in his arms and he prayed. And what we consider now in the rest of this evening's sermon is that prayer. So no more attention will be drawn to this man Simeon. Our attention will be drawn to his prayer. Because Simeon's prayer is indeed prophetic with respect to Jesus Christ. It's prophetic in the first place in what Simeon says of Christ in verse 30 now of our text. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon was ready to die now. He was ready to pass from this life to the next because he was now comforted with the joy of his salvation. And that salvation he could see. He could see that salvation in the very face of that baby he held in his arms. Lord, I see my salvation. That was true. That was true. Because you see, Christ is salvation personified. And yet, how could Simeon really know what he was saying when he states, mine eyes have seen my salvation? He really didn't know, did he, how he was going to be saved? He knew Christ was come. He knew that this Christ was born in order to save from sin, but that was the extent of his knowledge. How Christ was going to deliver him from sin, he had no idea. But how true what Simeon said. This child that now lay in Simeon's arms was born for the express purpose of salvation. He was not sent from heaven to earth for any other reason. Though men today like to make up all kinds of reasons concerning this man that walked the face of the earth. Some say Christ has come to give mankind this perfect example of love. That if we follow after him, will make us do the same good things that Christ did in his life here on earth. Some say that Christ was sent to die as an example of what God could rightfully do to you and to me. So that we're given in this life and in the suffering and in the death of Jesus Christ really a warning that we must do good as this man Jesus Christ has done. But Christ was not born for that reason. Simeon says, I see in the face of this baby my salvation. Christ has come to save. And that suffering he came to fulfill started, as we noticed this morning, already in his birth. How? How is Christ's salvation? Not only did Christ achieve salvation, beloved saints, but salvation is found in him alone. You see, when Christ went the way of the cross in perfect obedience to God, then he earned there, he merited there for himself personally all the blessings of salvation. So that all of these blessings that Christ earned are in him. They're found in him alone. He is a storehouse of blessings. Christ is salvation, because all the blessings of salvation are in him. In order for you and me now to receive those blessings that are in Christ, God has to bring us to Christ by regenerating us and then working within you and me faith. We have to be grafted into our Lord Jesus Christ by a true and living faith, in order that those blessings that are found in Christ might flow forth out of this storehouse and into you and me. And in that way, you and I are saved by being united to Jesus Christ by a true and living faith. So Christ has not merely earned for you and me salvation. Christ is salvation. He is it. All the salvation that is necessary for you and me is found in Jesus Christ alone. That's why without Christ there is no way possible that we can enter into heaven. The only deliverance from sin is by being united to Jesus Christ by faith. Only way. Because in that way, what is found in Him now becomes ours. But what is truly striking in this prophecy of Simeon is the claim that he makes by the Spirit once again in him. He says that this salvation God prepared before the face of all people. And the emphasis there, beloved saints, falls on that word prepared. God prepared this salvation. Of course God did. If all the prophecies of old spoke of that salvation that would be earned by Jesus Christ, if they all pointed to Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, then it goes almost without saying that this work of God or of Christ was already prepared before He was born. Prepared by God. Prepared by God from of old. Prepared by God from everlasting. God prepared that salvation that Jesus Christ would bring to you and to me in eternity. In God's eternal counsel for all things. See, God chose an elect people unto Himself from eternity. They weren't just chosen from eternity, but God chose that elect people in Christ from eternity, so that they were seen in Jesus Christ. They were elected in Jesus Christ from eternity, so that they were one with Jesus Christ before the world began, before they were even born into this world. God chose each of them in Christ, so that when Christ fulfilled salvation, then He accomplished that salvation for every one of God's elect from the beginning of time to the end. All prepared, you see, by God in His plan from eternity. And it was prepared to be shown, we learn, to the face of all people. Again, Simeon could not understand fully the words that he spoke here in his prayer concerning this salvation that Christ would earn for His people. Simeon could not fully understand that. And he could not because Simeon also prophesied of the gathering in of the nations. That salvation Christ would earn for His people was a salvation that would be for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And as a Jew of the Old Testament, Simeon could not understand what that prophecy meant. This salvation that Christ would earn, this salvation would not be limited any longer to the Jews, but it would be a salvation that God prepared in the face of all people. Every people would be made to see and participate in this salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, and that was prepared of God from all eternity. We find that in the rest of this prayer of Simeon, in verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and a light to lighten the glory of Thy people Israel. Two different phrases. We want to take the last part of that verse first. Christ was prepared to be the glory of God's people Israel. Christ was sent to bring salvation first of all to Israel of old. That is, to the Old Testament church. Yes, to the Jews. We ought not to think, people of God, that when Christ came into this world, God stopped suddenly saving the Jewish people or the Old Testament church. That it ended right there with the coming and the death of Jesus Christ. We cannot think, or we ought not to think, that God simply ignored His people that He had gathered from the past now among the Jews, and now left the Jews entirely to go to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul speaks about that in a very clear manner in Romans 11, the first five verses. I say then, Paul asks, hath God cast away His Old Testament people now? God forbid! For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. What ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, Paul says, at this present time, this is right after Christ, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Christ did not come, therefore, to bring salvation to others and no longer to the Jews. Christ came to save His people from among the Jews at that time. Otherwise, what was the sense of John the Baptist in coming and preparing the people of God for the coming of the Messiah? There were Jews that were saved. Simeon was saved. Mary was saved. Joseph, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Anna, who looked for redemption in Israel along with others of God's people. Paul was saved. The apostles, the 120 believers that met in the upper room. And it's safe to assume that the 5,000 people that were saved at the time of Pentecost and shortly thereafter were Jews. They were Jews. Christ came to be the glory of God's people Israel. He came for that reason. How was He their glory? He brought to perfect fulfillment all the ceremonies, all the prophecies of the Old Testament church. He was born right out of the heart of that Old Testament line. He was that seed around which God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all of His people since swirled. All the promises of God's covenant were yea and amen in the Old Testament in Jesus Christ. And in Him, therefore, the true glory of that Old Testament church shines forth. It does. Let's not forsake that Old Testament church as if that Old Testament church has absolutely nothing to do with you and with me. It more than certainly does. Now that doesn't mean, of course, that Christ is the glory of all those who in unbelief now turned away from the promises of old. In other words, Christ was not the glory of national Israel. That Israel was a shame. This Israel rejected Him. And they crucified Him. On the shoulders of apostate Israel, the apostate church, at that time that Jesus Christ was born, has laid the blood of Christ throughout all the centuries of this world. His blood be on us, they said, and on our children. Christ is not the glory of apostate Israel. Not at all. But He is the glory of true Israel. His people Israel that were born and in faith raised out of that nation. And therefore we see Christ as the glory of His believing people, even out of Israel. So there you have the sense, you see, of the passage that we have before us tonight. But to this is added the Gentile peoples. We read that once again in the passage that we consider. Which thou hast prepared, salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's a part that Simeon could not understand. These two, after all, these Gentiles, would be incorporated into the line of the church and the covenant of God. They would be merged together with that Old Testament church at the very time of Jesus Christ. Christ would be the one who, through His blood, broke down that middle wall of partition that separated the Gentile believers from the Jewish believers. And this Christ would lighten. He would lighten the Gentiles. And that word simply means He would open their eyes to and reveal the salvation of the Gentiles. You see, up to this point, the eyes of the heathen nations were blinded. The nation of Israel was that which was saved in the Old Testament. And the Gentiles' eyes were blinded. Their eyes were darkened to the promises of God. They were aliens from the covenant of God. And there were precious few whom God incorporated outside of Israel into that Old Testament church. Their eyes had been blinded to God. Their eyes had been blinded to Christ. Their eyes had been blinded to salvation. But now, in Christ, He would lighten them. That is to say, He would open the eyes of the blinded nations round about Israel. How? Here we have it again. The whole account breathes of this. The Spirit. The Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh on Pentecost. So Simeon really was prophesying here about the pouring out of the Spirit upon all flesh, the sending forth of that Spirit of Christ into the various nations and peoples of this world. And that Spirit is powerful, you know. When Christ sends forth His Spirit and He enters into the heart of man, no matter what nationality, no matter what race, no matter what language, no matter what color, the Spirit irresistibly draws a man to the cross of Jesus Christ. And that Spirit reveals to that person, opens their eyes, lightens the eyes of the Gentiles so that they are able to see God and know God, see and know Jesus Christ and know the gospel. Such is what Christ was prepared by God to be from all eternity. A light to lighten the Gentiles and to be at the same time the glory of God's people Israel. How thankful today we can be for that, beloved saints, because you and I have been incorporated into that church of the Old Testament, and that through Christ. To use the words of Paul in Romans 11, verse 26, and so Israel, all Israel, shall be saved. All those who are God's chosen people, all those who are true believers, all those who are the children of Abraham, all Israel will be saved. Christ was prepared of God to achieve exactly that. Simeon, this old man, prophesied of that, not even fully understanding what you and I have been given to see today as God's people. Notice the response of Joseph and Mary to this prayer of Simeon. We read of that in verse 33 of our text. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. By the way, Here is the verse that we took note of last week in our sermon. The wording of the King James Version here is strikingly accurate. Most of the modern versions of the Bible today say this, and Jesus' parents marveled. That's not what the original says, and it's not how the King James Version translates it either. And Joseph and his mother marveled. Mary was truly the mother of Christ, but Joseph was not Jesus' father. God was. Our versions very clearly maintain the divinity of Jesus Christ in almost a subtle way here in the verse that we have before us. But, point is, these two saints of God stood before this old man who grabbed their baby and pronounced this blessing and then a prophecy concerning their baby, and they just marveled. They marveled at what had just happened. They marveled at what Simeon spoke. And then, of course, the rest of the picture we read about, here comes this old lady, Anna. She does the same thing, prophesies about their baby. Did they understand? Did Joseph and Mary understand what was being prophesied about their child? Probably not fully again, no more than Simeon fully understood what he was saying. But they marveled because of what God had done to confirm for them the birth of His divine Son. Here was but another word that Mary could take and ponder in her heart. No doubt they marveled too at the salvation that was theirs and this Son that Mary had just brought forth. I'm going to be saved by this baby boy that's lying here in my arms. He's my Savior. He's not just my son. He's my Savior. They had to marvel at that, you see. In the face of this child, they too could see salvation. And so can we. Just as the two of them quietly marveled before God, today we marvel too. And we marvel the more because we fully understand now the working of God in our salvation. We fully understand how He prepared Christ, how He prophesied of Christ, and now fulfilled that salvation in Jesus Christ. How all of these things were ordered so well by God throughout time. But though we understand, that doesn't mean that we marvel less. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's how we marvel before our God. And that is what we exclaim as we marvel at all of God's counsel with respect to our salvation. God's name be praised among us forevermore. This Christ is the very light that has lightened our hearts. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the Son whom Thou hast sent into this world, and that we, as a church of Jesus Christ, again in this day might rejoice in the birth of Thy Son. Now in that rejoicing may we go forth into this week and soon into a new year, and that we might look forward to also the coming of our Savior at the end of time. When that salvation that has been made perfect in His cross and in His resurrection might be brought to its completion. May we continue in faith, just as did the saints of old, to look for that coming of our Savior. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.